section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew Hughes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron Hughes. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. First things first, the Warrior shoots on Ted DiBiase Sr. What do you got, Aaron?
Well, apparently Warrior did not like some of the comments that Ted made during the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. And even later on, Ted has made some rather unflattering comments about the Warrior. And so Warrior decided, you know, to break his silence and, you know, basically do a shoot on him. And, you know, I mean, he made some pretty decent points, I must say. And I think it's something that we'll have to, you know, probably discuss, you know, maybe do a special on the Ultimate Warrior. What do you think?
Sounds like a great idea. I got some things I want to say about that douchebag. Anyways, you were talking about this, and I you're really for this, and I don't know how I feel about it, but Russo is really wanting JR to be in TNA.
Yeah, this is a rumor going around. Russo is really pushing hard to get JR into TNA. He's actually willing to leave the company, you know, almost not permanently, but basically leave, because apparently JR doesn't care for Russo too much. So he said he's willing to you know, bite the bullet, basically, to get him in there.
That says something too. That says something about his character, because I think that, you know, if he's like, hey, I'll do this for the company because it's what the company needs, you know, bring JR in. And then maybe JR will have a change of heart because he's like, all right, well, you know, I think he's changed his ways. He let me come in. He kept his mouth shut during the entire time. Let's bring him back in and just say behind the scenes, whatever happened in the past is over with. That would be the ideal thing.
Yeah, definitely. So, and then the bit of news is that Foley is gone. The reason he was fired, kayfabe fired, is because of the amount of dates he has worked already. Apparently in his contract, he's set to work only so many dates per year. And since he has worked so many dates, they decided to fire him, and then they'll bring him back later so that way he can finish up the rest of his dates. And supposedly, and I mean, this would make sense, but Ric Flair may be taking a leave of absence soon for a similar reason, because he has a number of dates only that he can work. And, you know, he's been at every, you know, every TV taping, every pay-per-view. So, I mean, they don't want to use him up too much, you know, is kind of the thing. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah. I agree.
So that's news. That's the news for this week.
That's the news. Thank you, Aaron, for that. We had a pay-per-view, which we really didn't talk about last episode. Sacrifice. First thing off, we want to talk about Kaz. He lost to Doug Williams. Why did you put this in here, Aaron?
Well, I thought that this was very interesting, because at the last pay-per-view lockdown, Kaz won the X Division title from Doug Williams, and because Doug Williams was stripped of the title because he couldn't make it over, it was just kind of like one of those like weird situations. But it was the reason I put this in there, though, is because if you would have asked me last week who's going to win, I would have said Kaz is going to win. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But the fact that Doug Williams won, and he won, I mean, first of all, his finishing move is awesome. I don't know if you saw it or not, or if you remember, but he does a rolling...
It's called the Canadian Destroyer.
No. He does a rolling
Petey
German...
Williams.
That's Petey Williams.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Doug Williams, he's a part of the British, or was part of the British invasion. So, you know, still speak English, you know, but different country. But he does a rolling German suplex where he basically, he German suplexes him, but rolls through and German suplex him again. It's a phenomenal move, and it's really cool. I mean, it's something you'll have to YouTube. But I just thought it was kind of interesting that Kaz lost. So
Yeah, that is very interesting. Very interesting. Motor Scene Machine Guns are now the number one tag contenders. What's so significant about this?
Well, they've never held the tag title, and they are one of the most popular tag teams in TNA. If they're playing a heel, they get cheered no matter what, you know. So
and who does that consist of, Aaron?
It's Alex Shelley and what's his face? Why do you have to put me on the spot? Yeah,
I knew. I wanted to put you on the spot. I was like, you know what? I know what I can do to Aaron tonight, since I'm having some problems. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and make fun of Aaron. And I thought that'd be the easiest thing to do. The easiest thing to do. So.
Oh, it's Chris Sabin.
I knew you remember it.
I know Alex. Alex Shelley. I mean, he's very, you know, he's a very, very unique look to him. Chris Sabin, I mean, he's a good wrestler also. So, but yeah. So, but it is interesting that they finally are the number one tag contenders, and they could potentially win the title. So,
you think so?
I think so. I do.
Okay. All right, dude.
I think it's time to put them over. So.
Yeah. And speaking of getting put over, Ink, Jesse's having some issues with Team 3D. That's pretty.
Yeah. One of the things that's kind of interesting is that Bubba Ray Dudley, or Brother Bubba, is having basically, I don't know. They're going to have a storyline where he's jealous, and so he's going to have issues with Jesse. So Ink and Team 3D will feud, with Team 3D being the heel. So, and Jesse, the weird thing is, I don't see I don't understand why people like him so much, because I mean, he gets tons of cheers. Like he'll get chants, he'll get everything whenever he's out there. And I don't know if it's because of him, or because, you know, he was with Team 3D, or if it's because he's teamed now with Shannon Moore, or what, but people are loving him. So I don't know. What do you think about him?
I think it's Shannon Moore. I'm a big fan of Shannon Moore. I also remember Shannon Moore and the Hardys are really good friends along with Helms. I mean, you got that little group right there. They're all really good friends. So I think that it's more because of Shannon Moore. And yes, Team 3D doesn't hurt, but I would definitely have to, I think it's because of his relationship. I think it's because of Shannon Moore's relationship with all the other guys.
Cool.
Yeah. The other thing, Mr. Kennedy Anderson is having a change of face. You know, I don't know. What do you think, Aaron?
Well, I don't know if I really like him going face so soon. You know, I mean, he
just had a great heel feud with Angle.
Yeah, a month ago, he was talking about how the United States troops are, like, horrible people, and he was just, you know, really talking down to the troops and to Americans. And a month later, you're going to turn them face?
Yeah.
You know, doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense, but, you know. And the thing is, I'm pretty sure if there's something major behind this, okay, cool. I don't see anything major behind this. I just think that they're, you know, just wanting to change them, which didn't make sense. And speaking of
change. Let me interrupt you. What if they have it as a swerve? Like, they're swerving him to be a face. Like, he's doing this face turn, and then he's swerving it to stay a heel, like, to be an even worse heel. What do you think?
Great idea, then.
Great idea?
That's the only way it's a great idea. That is the only way.
I think it could be. I'm kind of worried that, you know, he gets cheers, even though he's supposed to be healed, the same way that Cena gets boos and he's supposed to be a face, you know? And I don't know if that's what it is, so. But what did you think about the Sacrifice pay-per-view?
You know, overall, I did miss some of it, but I've rewatched it since, and I was actually pretty happy with the pay-per-view. It's definitely something I would have purchased, definitely. I thought it was that good. I mean, I got to see the replay, of course, and very impressed. I thought it was a great match, and I'm really thinking about starting to get TNA pay-per-views. And that's saying something, because I don't like paying for pay-per-views at all.
Yeah.
But overall, yeah, definitely, it's getting good. It's about the matches, not storylines, which I love. Love that part. One thing I don't love is, no commercials on Raw, because they keep failing at it. It's getting really annoying. And no, I didn't care that they had no commercials, because I seriously, at one point, was like, man, this is a stupid commercial. Then I realized it was a promo.
I just didn't care, to be honest. I mean, it didn't really do anything for me. Most of us watch them on DVRs anyway, so the fact that there's no commercials, if they would have done this concept 10 years ago, genius idea. If they would have ran this against Nitro, genius.
Yeah, how come no one thought about that? That's a good point, dude. Why not? Don't even say anything yet, but just say, like, hey, just let you guys know, we are going commercial free tonight. That's right. You only have to leave your channel on one station tonight. Leave it on USA, because we will make sure we put out the best show possible. And I guarantee you, everyone would have sat there and watched Raw, because there would be no commercial breaks. You see only wrestling.
Yeah, that's why, like, nowadays, kind of stupid. You know, it's kind of like going out and purchasing a newspaper. You know, like, what type of person does that? You know, no one is going to go out and buy a newspaper or a stack of newspapers, you know?
I know every day.
I don't. Yeah. So, but what do you think about Hitman as the U.S. champ?
You know, I saw this coming, and I think it's great. I think it's great because I hope they're doing what I want them to do, but you never know. Just the fact that he's the U.S. champ is actually kind of funny because he's Canadian and he's with a Canadian team and he's the United States champion. So what I think is going to happen, and this, in all seriousness, this is what I'd love to happen. If they would do a tournament on Over the Limit, that would be awesome. I know they won't because they only have, what, like 5 matches, and that's way too many now to have. So, but if they could do it where they just get, like, you know, a group of 8 people together and say this person, I mean, you can have great match. You could, what, it's if it's 8, it's 4-2-1. You can have 7 matches, and then you make it to 12 matches in a pay-per-view. Or even just have, like, 4 guys, you know, Bryan Danielson, bring him in and, like, bring a couple other people, you know, and they can be the U.S. champ. But I don't know. What do you think, dude?
Well, you know, I got to say, if you would have told me 10 years ago that Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Bret Hart would all be champions in the year 2010, I would have called you a liar. And I would have said, and you know what else I would have said? It's stupid. And you know what? I still feel that way. I mean,
No, dude. You know what you've even thrown in there? You would have done, you would have one up me. And you would have been like, and guess what? Virgil's coming back. And I'll be like, no, dude. I saw him at the Comic-Con the other night. He was not that good. He's like, I'm coming back to WWE. That was in 2002.
Dude, I'll tell you what. It was funny to see him back. It really was. But I hope that they don't do a long-term thing with him, because I think that would kind of ruin it. But I don't know.
Yeah, it could ruin it, but it's actually kind of funny that he actually came back. I mean, I thought that he was away from the Virgil character completely, but I'm sorry, dude, but like, I know that he probably is not making that much money. And if WWE was like, hey, we're going to pay you like $300,000, you want to come back for a year? He'd be like, hell yeah.
You know, that actually, I just thought about something too. You know, I hope that if you guys haven't seen Raw yet, or if it's still on your DVR or whatever, take a look at the Bret Hart interview again, because I swear to God, he said WWF. I swear, like, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't edited out, but I actually do think he said WWF.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to check that out.
Seriously, like, at the very beginning, like, the first, like, 10 minutes, it really sounds like it. So take a look at that.
Yeah, I think everyone should check it out. Anyways, like we said, Virgil's back, of course. Wow. Still, it's actually kind of cool to see him, but like, it's also, I feel bad because, like, dude, I saw him like, oh gosh, 8 years ago, and he looked rough, and that was right after WCW folded, I think. Is that right? Yeah, it was 2002. Yeah, it would've been right around the time when WCW was gone, because he was gone from WCW beforehand, if my memory serves me right. And you know, it was kind of weird seeing him, because he was out there, you know, doing the Vincent character or WWS Virgil, and then he had the NWO shirt on, which was kind of ironic. But it's just kind of weird, because you see him and you're like, wow, this is what he's come to. $25 autographs, you know, felt kind of bad. But then see him back on TV, it kind of, like, you know, made me feel a little bit better about him. But one thing that I didn't feel good about was, why the heck does Cena do that stupid 3D sign? It doesn't make sense.
This is something I've wanted to talk about for a while. I just, you know, I don't know. I just never really thought about bringing it up. But Cena throws up the 3D, you know, symbol. And whenever I've seen him do that, I always think, like, why is he, like, you know, is he paying, you know, an homage to Team 3D, you know, to the Dudley boys? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I think what he's really doing, he's like, oh gosh, I remember when D-Von was here and he would get the tables all the time, and, you know, now he can't get the tables.
But yeah, apparently not.
Actually, no. I never really registered it. I was just like, oh, well, I guess he's doing a 3D sign. Unoriginal, but, you know, hey, that's your champion. This is the company. This is the poster boy for the company. And he was the poster boy of the company. And one thing I will have to say about this is that Raw sucked. I'm giving it a D.
Yep, straight D for me.
And
SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Christian and Dolph Ziggler, it looks like they're going to be feuding. Do you think that this is a good idea?
I don't know why Christian has to go down again. It doesn't make sense, because he should be up there main eventing, but instead they're having him face a jobber.
Correct me, but I really think that they're making Christian into the, like, stepping stone. Like, it seems like Christian is there to push other people up. Like, he was there to push Kofi up. He's there to push Dolph Ziggler up. He's there to push Cody Rhodes up and Ted DiBiase. And, I mean, do you think that? I mean, he's basically the stepping stone. He's – as opposed to have him be the man, they're making him the person to beat to become the man.
You're right. You are right. It's almost like no matter where he's at, he's just basically right there. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, he can go away from wrestling and come back and he's still going to be the same. Like, when he came back, it was kind of neat, but, like, he got the same cheers as before.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one of those guys who, you know, they know who he is. They're going to cheer for him because they saw what he used to do, and he still is able to wrestle really well. So they're not thinking about that. But, it's just sad that he's a stepping stone. But, you know, who should be a stepping stone is Jack Swagger, because I don't like him. I think he's a horrible champion, but he did lose to Kofi, which, again, doesn't make sense because the title's not on the line. I don't get this, you know. And Kofi was just the IC champion, too. So what do you think, dude?
You know, well, this thing that's really stupid about it is that it means that Swagger is going to win on Sunday. And I hate it when they do this. You know, they do it all the time. And, you know, something, one of the last segments in there, they had Rey Mysterio. He pinned Punk, and that means that Punk will be winning on Sunday, because they never have you. Like, if Punk would have pinned Mysterio, that means Mysterio is going to win, you know? So it would surprise me. And, you know, I mean, I'll be the first to admit it if next week that, you know, Mysterio pins Punk again, and you know, I'll be the first to say it. So I really think it's stupid when they do this stuff. So, but the other thing too was they had Big Show. He won by DQ against Drew McIntyre. What do you think about that?
That was stupid. What, I mean, what was the point of – see, you have a pay-per-view on Sunday, and you put out a stupid match that is going to mean nothing. Nothing at the pay-per-view. That has nothing to do with the pay-per-view whatsoever. Why? Why put out this – this match should never happen. I hope that they decide just – I don't know, dude. I can't talk anymore about that. I mean, it just takes me off. It really takes me off.
Grade wise, I mean, this was another D for me. You know, I mean,
definitely,
it really was. Yeah. So, but then there's NXT. You know, so Darren Young is gone. I saw this coming a mile away.
Yeah, what so do you? I saw him going. It was kind of sad. I think I don't know. Like, I kind of get him. Like, I think I can get the. I mean, he'll be a mid carder. I think if he was to stay around long enough. But I for some reason I get certain wrestlers. I get a vibe for him. Like, yeah, I can watch this guy, and that's how I was with him. But like, no one cared for him. It's just like he did not connect with the crowd, which was what I think the major problem was. It was sad to see him go, but it was obvious. Even though David Otunga shouldn't be there, he's horrible.
Yeah, and it's interesting that the pros, you know, they're criticizing the rookies in their little segments, and they said that David Otunga can't wrestle.
Yeah, that's the funny part. They talk about not wrestling, but then he's number two in the rankings, which doesn't make sense to me at all. It makes no sense whatsoever, dude.
Yeah.
But anyways, Bryan Danielson came out with Michael Tarver. And I feel bad for Tarver because he just basically pointed out how he was a monkey or whatever, if you want to say that. And he played a little bit of the race card. And then all of a sudden they go to Bryan Danielson, and Tarver's no longer needed. It's all about Bryan Danielson, all about him. And the thing is, he came out and showed his character finally to the WWE, who he does on the indie scene, the exact character. And it came out excellent. I think the crowd really dug it, dude. I was enjoying it. Every second of it, I was like, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. And then I was like, and Michael Cole wouldn't shut the heck up. And that was really getting to me, because I can't. Michael Cole sat there and talked all the smack on him. And I'm sorry, but if you're a true wrestling fan, you do go to the indie. You do go watch the indie, so you do hear about him. I mean, you hear about Ring of Honor all the time. And even if there's a local place, Bryan Danielson wrestled everywhere. I mean, there's times that he'd wrestle five or six times on a weekend. He'd hit every place. So people knew who he was, and real wrestling fans know who he is. The fact that he came out there and then finally started criticizing Michael Cole and went over to him and then started pushing him, they got into a little, you know, like, fight or whatever. I thought that was hilarious, because it's just proving my point that, okay, so they're letting him be him. They're letting Bryan Danielson be himself. And so for him leaving NXT, I'm glad, because he does not need it. And it's proven. And it also shows that he does not need to win wrestling matches either.
You know, one thing I got to say is that segment felt so real. Like, it felt like that was a real person talking like his heart out. And then when he went to Michael Cole and was like talking about him, saying that he's a parrot, you know, you know, Vince McMahon is telling him what to say and he says it, and how he's a poor man's JR.
Yes.
And he just like the stuff he was saying, like, and the way he was saying it. The other thing too was that he was saying it with such anger, and it really seemed real. And it just, if I was a member in the audience, like, I would have been just going nuts. I would have been going just berserk because of that. Like, that was so cool. Like, that by far, like, NXT, it was okay. That segment alone, like, just made me just sit there and go, wow, like, this is the best segment I've seen in WWE in probably like 3 weeks.
Oh,
you know,
definitely.
If not longer. It like, this segment just really, I think, elevated, you know, Bryan Danielson, you know, to a whole new level. And I think that it really, I think that you can actually put him now, I really think you can actually put him in an upper mid-card area, and you could have him wrestle people and convincingly win against them. You know, like how Rey Mysterio, when he beat Kurt Angle, when he beat Randy Orton, when he was beating these people, you know, you had to make it convincing. I think that, you know, Daniel Bryanson, he could convincingly beat Kane. He could convincingly beat, maybe not Orton yet, because, you know, Orton is very high up there. But, I mean, even Edge, you know, I could see him beat Edge. And even especially Jericho, and I bet Jericho, because he's such a businessman, he'd be like, let me lose to him, you know, like, let me lose the title to him, in fact, you know. That's the type of person, you know, that Jericho is. So I got to say, man, I got quite a man crush on Daniel Bryanson.
Dude, I've had a huge man crush on him ever since I saw him for the first time. I saw him in Ring of Honor. They're like, the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. I'm like, this guy is a freaking wimp. This is going to be boring. And then all of a sudden I shut my mouth, because at the time my assistant, he's the one who showed me Ring of Honor tape. And I was like, what the heck is this? And I watched him and I was just like, this is unbelievable. He can wrestle and he looks good. He looks good. So I do have a little bit of man crush on Bryan Danielson. And honestly, dude, because of that segment, I'm going to give it a B+, just because of that segment. The show itself was okay, but B+.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a B myself. So, but you know what, though? I must say, I bet Bryan Danielson, I think he has a website, and you know who he uses to get his web domain name?
He actually used one of our promo codes from GoDaddy. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer 6.5, C5 for details. All right, back to TNA. They just had the pay-per-view, like we were saying, on Sunday, and they taped 4 weeks of Impacts. What? Why 4 weeks?
Yep. Well, you know, it's a cost-cutting measure. Apparently, they're going to be doing some... they're going to be cutting a bunch of people on their roster this week. And, you know, I mean, when you have to fly talent down to use them, you know, if you only have to fly them down once, you know, and then you tape four weeks worth of shows within 3 days, you know, I mean, I guess you can save yourself some money. But, you know, to be honest, I think as a wrestling fan, it kind of sucks. If you're a casual wrestling fan, it's fine. You know, you're going to tune in. But if you're like a wrestling fan, you're just going to go online and read the spoilers. You know, you're going to be like, oh, this is what happens. Okay, well, that's cool. I'll just wait for the pay-per-view.
Exactly.
You know? I mean,
exactly.
I don't think it's a really good idea. So.
No, I think they need to stop doing that. Anyways, what happened with Six?
You know, like, honestly, what the hell happened to Sean Waltman? Like, Hall and Nash have so much pull, and they give him so much. And to have him like just really falter out and just be like, eh, I don't want to show up at this show, or, you know, hey guys, I can't go, I have a doctor's excuse, you know, like, I mean, stupid stuff like that. Like, honestly, like, what is going on? I mean, he hasn't been at any of the shows. They haven't been talking about him. I think he's dead,
or he's making another. He could be making another tape with China. which I will not watch ever.
Two Nights in China.
Exactly. Speaking of something that's not in China right now, Sting. He is the number one contender now. Didn't see this coming. Not at all. Did you, Aaron?
No, I didn't. But, you know, I mean, with the polls that they're doing, which I actually kind of like. I mean, I think it's kind of cool because, you know, TNA gets a lot of information from their fans that way. They can see that, well, the fans really like Desmond Wolfe. So, you know, we're going to put him in the main event, you know, a couple weeks ago. And, you know, this week they saw like Sting is, you know, that's who the fans want to see. So, and I think it's really cool to have Sting and RVD, you know, face off. So, it could be a really, really good match. It also could be a flop. So,
not with RVD. I think RVD knows what to do. He knows how to work with the old timers. So, And I think, you know, with this show, I'm going to have to just give it a C. Can't say anything bad or good about it.
Yeah. It was an average show. You know, I mean, like a C is not a bad grade. I mean, it's just, it means that was average.
I know. I mean, well, think of it this way. We gave the one week we gave the live show a C, and then we gave the tape show a B plus or an A minus. Yeah. So, I mean, it could be maybe the tape shows are a lot better. I guess we won't find out until, next week. Anyways, we want to talk about we talked about this last week on our weekly topic. We want to talk about the 2010 Wrestling Almanac. I get these every year. These are really, really cool. They're not sponsoring us or anything, but I mean, I like them so much. I got one for myself and I got one for my bro. He got his before me, which is kind of weird because it was sent from New York, but whatever. But they have some, I want to talk about it a little bit later in the show. Actually, you know, I want to talk about it real fast. One thing I wish they did with these, I wish they put them out every year. It has a lot of information in it. It tells you who won the title. It has every pay-per-view, including Ring of Honor pay-per-views, in the book as well. So it tells you who won, who lost, where was that as well, which is really, really neat. They used to also put in all the current titles. So if there's a title that's going on right now, they do have it in the book, which is awesome. The titles that aren't on right now, for like the what they had the WCW US tag titles, those are no longer there. It's stuff like that they don't put in the book just because. But for a while there, I had it, and like the first few books I got had every single title in there, even the ones that weren't around. It also gives you the top 500 people, and it gives all the information about just about every single wrestler, their height, weight, hometown, and how long they've been pro. But so I just want to say it's a great thing. Great read. If you can find it, pick it up. It's worth the, I think it's like $6 for it. It's well worth it. It's because it's the Pro Wrestling Illustrated 2010 Wrestling Almanac and Book of Facts. It's the 15th edition. Go check them out. Anyways, they have the top 10 in here. What did you think your top 10 was, Aaron? Like, of the best. I mean, what do you think the best ones were in here?
There's really only a few I really wanted to talk about because, I mean, some of them are kind of like, you know, they talk about wrestling deaths, and it's like, look, you know, there's always a ton of wrestling deaths, you know, who cares. They did talk about WWE's youth movement in here, and one of the things I thought was interesting was that, you know, they say, well, you know, I mean, they're going to Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. It's like, well, that's Sheamus won the title by a fluke.
Yep.
He didn't successfully defend the title. And then on top of that, Drew McIntyre was basically given the IC title and he hasn't had any real matches, you know, I mean, he hasn't. So, I mean, youth movement, yeah, not really.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest one that I thought was kind of interesting was WWE goes PG.
Oh, yeah. You know, OK, I will say that. Yeah, that is definitely, they have it as number one. I do agree. The fact they go PG is, I think, kind of lame. I don't like the fact that, you know, we watch a PG show, and then you turn to TNA and you almost got a rated R show. I do agree with them with the story, though. I mean, it's a great article about it. I mean, Hogan signing with the TNA is kind of a big thing too, but I think, you know, toning down your style is kind of a big thing.
Well, not only that, but you got to figure, I mean, even the wrestling, while, you know, we all know that the wrestling in WWE for the past few years has not been that good. The big thing, though, is that, you know, now the wrestling is very, I mean, it's like 80s wrestling, you know, and, you know, I'm sorry, but in the 80s, you know, the wrestling was very like, you know, just like a hit and another hit. And then it's like, oh, my God, he's going to do a suplex, you know, or like, oh, my God, body slam, you know, it was like big thing. And it's kind of like that again. Whereas with TNA, you have people doing vertebreakers. You have people, you know, doing crazy moves that are, you know, I mean, they do them in such a way that they don't hurt themselves. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I really think it's kind of telling, and it really says something about WWE being PG, because you have a promotion like TNA, which is, like you said, it's compared to it, it's rated R.
Yeah, Aaron, I completely agree with you. Very interesting stuff, but we're going to go ahead and stop right there. That's all the time we got this week. First, I want to say, Aaron, thanks for coming on the show. And I also want to say thanks to all our fans for listening. Great show. We love doing it. We're going to continue to do it. It's lots of fun. By the way, we're going to have some specials coming out pretty soon here in the next few months. So we'll put out some WCW specials, the Ultimate Warrior special. We'll do a lot of them. They're going to be pretty fun. Of course, I want to say thanks to Section 86 for hosting the podcast, and 86 Productions for all the editing they do. And until next time, we're tagging out.